Well, good morning. Now, today, that's for a few Lord's days to come, we're just going to look at some true stories. It sounds funny, isn't it, to talk about a true story, but these are true stories, we might say, that people have spoken and written up about some of the great works of the Lord in times past in the experiences of other Christians. And the one I want to tell you about today comes from a few centuries ago, when there were some missionaries. Now, what are missionaries, Stanley?
Person who goes to somewhere where there is not much Christianity outreach, so people don't hear about the word of God, so they bring it to
them. That is it. That is it. So they might go overseas and serve the Lord in another country, learn the language maybe of that country if it's not English, and go and preach the word of God to those people. So that was their intention. And they were going to travel, well, quite a long way away. And in those days, you're going to travel a long way away. How would you get there? How would you get there? Molly?
You either go by foot or on a donkey.
Well, you could go by foot or a donkey. Or, how else, Charlotte?
By boat.
By boat. So these are going to cross the seas. Obviously for that one, they're going to have to use a boat. So they did. And in those days, there are no engines to power your boat. So what would you need to get anywhere on your boat? What would you need, do you think, for that? You could row, I suppose, but that's going to puff you out a bit, because this is a very long way that these missionaries were going to go. So what would you need for this? What kind of boat would it be, James?
Sails.
Sails. You're right. You need sails. You're going to need the wind. It's got to be a favourable wind, hasn't it, to get you there. So it's going to take quite a long time, and that's what people had to expect, and you didn't know exactly when you'd arrive. But you'd set off in a large boat with large sails, and that would be the way you travelled. Well, I know a lot about it, but anyway, that's what you would do. And this boat was called the Britannia. These missionaries were on board, and there'd been other passengers too, and there'd been the crew that are going to make sure the boat got there, look after the sails and steer the ship and such like, while they went. Well, they got some way on their journey across the waters. Missionaries have been, you know, looking forward to arriving and preaching the gospel to the people that they're going to. And there was trouble. They spotted trouble. I wonder what they spotted. Anybody have a guess at that? I wonder what they spotted. On the waters, coming towards them, trouble. If I said it was another boat, would that help you? Molly. Pirates. Pirates. They could tell that ship was a pirate ship, and it was bearing down upon them. And pirates weren't really a joke. They'd certainly steal all your possessions, they might actually kill you. So this really was a serious business. And the captain of the Britannia looked at that and, you know, looked very aghast and very pale, because he knew that their ship would not be able to outrun the pirate ship. And so all he could see now was absolute disaster for himself, for his crew, for his passengers. And it really was not a happy prospect that was before him. And the missionaries saw this, or they heard this. And what do you think they did? What do you think they did, Molly? They prayed. They went down, well, wherever down is in the ship, but anyway, there they were, inside the ship, and they prayed. They prayed. They prayed, and they prayed. I imagine that God would deliver them and the crew, and that God would bring them through this and get them to their destination, where they wanted to be able to preach the gospel to people who didn't have the gospel. So there it was, and the pirate ship was getting nearer and nearer. And I imagine, well, I don't know what I imagine exactly a pirate captain thought, but I imagine that he thought, wonderful, this is easy pickings here. Maybe they'd done lots of boats like this, and been able to attack them and steal, and maybe kill the passengers. And he thought, this is a formality. This is good. There they were, clear skies. Their ship could outrun that ship. There's no other ship to help that one, the Britannia, anywhere near at hand. So, right. And What they were looking to do was this. You get near enough to the other ship, and then, well, what would you do then? Anyone got any ideas what you would do then? How would you get from your ship onto the other ship? What did you have to do, Stanley?
Put planks of wood between them.
But you might do that, but before you got there, or swung ropes or whatever else you were going to do, before you got there, how would you make sure that your ship was sort of attached to the ship you were going to board? Because we've got a few waves and your ship might sort of go there, and if you've got a plank of wood, it might, oh, you know, because the other ship had moved. What would you look to do? Bit complicated, perhaps, this one. Molly?
See, like, sticks, and, like, have something sticking out your boat, and then, like, get closer to the other
boat. Well, this is good. Good idea here, Charlotte.
An anchor?
Not far off. Let me tell you, then. You would have what are called grappling irons, right? On your piece of rope there, which you're going to swing or sort of launch over there, you'd have a sort of big, sort of powerful bit of metal, which was like a hook. It would grab hold of your ship that you wanted aboard, and you'd be able to make your ship come up close to it, and then you could cross however ways you were going to do it. So that's what they did. They kept getting ready to throw their grappling irons. Maybe done this lots of times. But every time they tried to throw their grappling irons across, suddenly there'd be a sort of gust of wind or something, and the boats would separate. So their grappling irons would just sort of fall into the water instead. So they'd put them back aboard the ship and try again. Every time they tried to do it, the ships would separate just at the critical moment. Oh, right, okay, we're going to have to sort of soften up this other ship a bit. So they got their cannons ready. And then they fired. And though they were quite close, somehow their cannons misfired. They didn't hit the ship. And the result of all firing these cannons, what sort of got blown up all around into the sort of air around the ship? What that kind of got blown up there? What got blown up, Molly?
Fumes and smoke.
Absolutely that. So it wasn't clear, you know, in the fumes and the smoke, what was going on. So you couldn't fire any cannons. You didn't want to waste your cannon balls until you were able to your target. So they kind of went, there's the ship again. Poof! They fired some more cannons. Nothing worked. It didn't hit. And there's all this smoke. And by now, there was a lot of smoke. So they had to sort of wait there for an opportunity to be able to fire again. And by the time the smoke was cleared sufficiently for them to see, what do you think they could see? Or couldn't see? Couldn't see so well. Stanley?
The boat.
The Britannia. By then, was sailing away, far enough away from them now, for them to think, oh, it's going to be hard work to catch that ship up. And so, they sort of thought, missed that one we did, and gave up on the Britannia. So the Britannia got to its desired haven, to its destination, and there the missionaries were able to get off the ship, and there, great thankfulness to God, they could go about the work that God had called them to. So they were preaching the gospel. Now, some years later, they met somebody on the island who made a particular beeline to them because he had something he wanted to say to those missionaries. And he had a remarkable story to tell them. I wonder who that man was. Anybody could guess? Who might that man have been? He had a remarkable story to tell these missionaries. A story, actually, about his conversion. Let me tell you. It was the captain of the pirate ship. The captain of the pirate ship. And he had obviously been a wicked man. And, well, what sorts of things he had done, we can only imagine. And there he had been. Yep, there was the Britannia. Yep. And it was perhaps for him just another ship to sort of get hold of and steal from the passengers and that. But he couldn't figure out how it was that that ship had managed to survive all their efforts to board it, all their efforts to blast it with cannonballs. And he began to realise, because perhaps he had, as a younger person, learnt maybe about the Lord in his Sunday school, maybe, or perhaps from his parents, and he'd gone far away and gone into wickedness. And He just could not work it out, how that ship had survived. And somehow he must have come to learn that there were some Christians on that ship. And he was brought under conviction of sin, right? He began to realize his sin. He began to realize that he needed a savior. And he found a savior. Because any who cry out to him, anybody who cries out to him, if they truly want salvation at Christ's hands through his blood, they will find it. Because he's very, very merciful. And he found that salvation. And he loved the savior. And now he could appreciate exactly why those missionaries had come to the island and was, I dare say, amazed all the more to learn. There they were praying, and there he had been, unable to get that ship. And so he realized God was with those people. And he must have absolutely delighted to tell them his own story and experience. And those missionaries must have been thrilled as well to learn that maybe far beyond what they could have hoped for, that their prayers there had been wonderfully answered in the conversion of that pirate captain. How wonderful. Well, I hope you pray. I hope you pray for people who hate the gospel, actually. I try to pray for such people. I try to remember them. Pray for those, maybe somewhere at school, who are really very difficult. And often they come from families who are maybe atheists and, you know, one way would say, well, they don't know any better. Pray for them then. God will give them some light and some understanding. Maybe. Maybe sooner, maybe later. It took a few years, didn't it, before they heard what had happened to this pirate captain. But maybe later, somebody may come to you and say, do you know, I'm now a Christian. If you're a Christian, I now share in what you believe. Wouldn't that be wonderful? So pray, pray. And we're going to sing a hymn now by a man called John Newton. Well, he's a story in himself, isn't he? Because he went far away from the Lord. He had heard about the Lord in his childhood, and he went far away. And the Lord brought him to sense, and he was a man who went out on the sea as well, wasn't he? That's John Newton. And so we'll sing his hymn, 123, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds, 123.